Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Turn of the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPaul11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Patriots Week. Second to last regular season pod here in the TOJ pod of the 2023 season. Brad Spielberger, who's been joining us every Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, basically, throughout the season, is on one more time. Brad, how we doing today?
Great, doing great. Yeah, big, I hate when people think there are meaningless games in football for a million different reasons. You know, guys looking for contracts, guys trying to put good film on tape, etc. But also when you can play the New England Patriots and try to snap this damn streak. But I'm doing well. And the Bears also have the great spoiler matchup of the week, maybe. So I'm looking forward to it.
I guess let's start right there. What do you – you're not a Jets fan, but you obviously know a lot of Jets fans. What should Jets fans hope for, I guess, from Sunday? Like, what's the ideal outcome? How should you root? Again, no offense. However you root doesn't mean shit. But everyone still has to go in with a mentality. So how should fans, from your perspective, go into Sunday?
It's funny because I agree with you, and then I'm like, I got to wear my special sweatpants and sit on the right side of the couch. You know, otherwise, I'm going to throw the whole juju of the team off. I'm an expert on how to navigate these situations, as I'm sure a lot of Jets fans are too. Like, I don't know, the way I do it personally – we talked about it a little bit. Like, I really don't think there's that much of a difference between, I'm guessing their range is like 10 through 15 or whatever. It doesn't really matter. So I view it as I come in, I want to beat a rival. I have no other thoughts on my mind. And then if you lose, once the clock hits zero, then you're like, all right, well, you know what? We got a better draft pick out of it. So I'm not as mad. I'm not going to, you know, break any TVs or anything like that. Not that I would be doing that otherwise, but I honestly think that it's interesting, the last couple games, be more serious. Like, at no point would I say the defense has quit, per se, but the second half of Washington and the first half of Cleveland, I mean, it just wasn't as good as that defense is. I picked the Jets plus 7.5. I love the spot against Cleveland. I said they had a better defense than the Browns. I didn't think that was on this show. I think it was on other shows. And they just were kind of lackluster to start the game. They did actually, I think, have a good second half against Cleveland. Obviously, they scored a field goal the whole half, I want to say. But yeah, like, I think it's something. It's hard now to bring good juju and good vibes into 2024. I think there actually is a great opportunity. We end the streak against the Patriots. We end Bill Belichick's Patriots career with a loss. Like, I think that actually is something you can carry into 2024 for the guys that will be back. That actually does matter.
Yeah, I think if they were cleaning house, I'd feel differently. They're not. So, and like, no offense, like, I think if you root, you can root as hard as you want for them to win on Sunday. And if they win, that's great. I think the only scenario in which it's not good for the Jets is they lose. Their pick doesn't change because the Chargers, Titans, and Giants all lose as well, which is very plausible. And, like, you lose 9-6. Like, that's the one spot where you just go, dude, streak's alive and our pick's not better. Look, if you're telling me at halftime, the Jets are down 10-0 or 10-3, and it's still a good game, and all of a sudden, the Titans, Chargers, and Giants are all winning. Man, maybe I'll have a different conversation. Now, picking 5 means you definitely get one of the tackles, or means you definitely get – you can maybe get Marvin Harrison. I don't know. Maybe 3 quarterbacks in a row go and 2 tackles go, and the Jets – yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, there's a bunch of crazy scenarios in which – I don't think that'll happen. But, again, there's a bunch of crazy scenarios which could happen. If you pick 10th versus 8th, I feel like there's a more plausible move. You can trade up from 10 to 8, then trading up from 8 to 2 or whatever, 8 to 3, whatever you might need to do. So, yeah, I just look at it as go try to win. And if the game spirals out of control, maybe change your narrative. But going into next year with 16 in a row, lost against the Patriots and all these different things, it's disgusting. And I don't know. Like, there's a good chance they could also just still pick an 8 if they win. Like, there's just a lot around them that could happen. So, we talked about this before, Cleveland before Washington. Yeah, in hindsight, if they had lost to Washington, this is a very different conversation. This is like, oh, dude, you might pick 2. Like, that's different. Now, picking 8 versus 10, I'm not sure is as crazy of a difference as it is picking, 12 versus 3. Like, that's not the difference we're talking about.
And I'll say this, like, because I think we're on the same page, but we're basically talking like quarterback versus non-quarterback range. You're not going to do a massive trade-up for a quarterback. Like, I think they could take one with Rodgers. You're not going to like mortgage future picks. He might even be pissed, honestly, if you use a first rounder on a quarterback. But look, if you're on an island here, I don't think Jaden Daniels is going top 5. Like, everyone keeps talking about that. Maybe he does. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's Penix. I think Penix is the one that goes. Does some team watch him Monday night and go, holy fuck, this is way more athletic, better arm Tua in terms of injuries, talent around him in college. They're not the same player. Lefty, like, there's a lot of aesthetic things there that are hard to get over. But do we go, Joe Burrow was 24, 25 when he came in, so we're over that, and he had all the talent, and Tua was always injured, but we showed him with the right scheme, you can keep him healthy. And look, he just torched Michigan and Texas. Texas is the worst secondary in the country, so again, it's a grain of salt. But then they go, then the Giants at 5 go, dude, Dable, a revamped offensive line, like, is Penix our quarterback for the next 10 years? That's the one guy. I don't think Daniels is going top 5. I keep seeing that, but I've also seen people say he's a second round prospect. He's the one confusing guy, and I don't think Bo Nix is going that high. I do think Penix could have this, like, if he just puts up the numbers he has, does someone go, that arm talent's too much to pass up? Like, that's the one guy, right? I think that's the one person this draft process is. The medicals check out as well as they can. Like, I don't know.
I think there was – so, obviously, like, the Texas secondary, outside of, like, Jahdae Barron, who I think is a pretty good player, although he didn't play very well in that game, is not great. But he did show – I'm not going to do a full C.J. Stroud versus Georgia comparison, but, like, some of the pocket manipulation and the elusivity – because, look, T'Vondre Sweat and and Byron Murphy are, like, first-round prospects. And they have a young underclassman on the edge who I love, too, whose name is escaping me. But anyway, so, like, there was an element of – he showed us things that maybe we saw early Indiana we haven't seen since. I don't know. You're right about age. I probably overvalue that. For me, though, it's like he's torn both ACLs and has chronic shoulder issues and almost retired. Maybe some team doesn't care. Maybe you're right. But, yeah, I don't, and anyway, the more important answer is really, like, I don't think the Jets are out of range for that third quarterback if that is the direction they want to go. I don't think, like, no matter what happens this weekend, they might be sitting there at 15 and be able to take the first non-Williams-May quarterback. I really do believe that. So, a lot of interesting games this weekend. It all does matter. The draft pick is what it is. And there, frankly, you got gifted. The fact you have a first-round pick at all wasn't expected. It's a really good class. Like, it's already kind of gravy to a degree.
Yeah, like, it's interesting. I was going to tweet this out before, but again, I'm going to wait to tweet it because I'm sure people get upset about it. There's a real world. Like, the fact that we're having a conversation about top 10 draft pick, missing the playoffs, all these different things. Like, it's just like a conversation I don't think anyone thought the Jets were going to have. Like, they thought maybe the Jets would go up in flames, but, if you were a hater of the situation, but you probably thought they were going to be like 8-9, 9-8, miss the playoffs type of situation, not like a 6 or 7 win team that borderline was going to fire everybody. Rodgers misses the whole year, literally. And then it's just an interesting conversation. Again, we'll tackle more of that stuff. Two kind of quick debates here, or three quick things. This will be a shorter episode with Brad. I'll have a full breakdown of the Patriots game, matchup wise, for those who care tomorrow. Let's start with AVT, guard versus tackle. I think he should be the starting right tackle for a number of reasons. They're gonna have to replace 2 spots at a minimum of the offensive line this offseason. Replacing both tackles is a huge ask. considering the free agent market, trade market, even where they're drafting, they might not get a top one of the top two guys. That's a huge part of it. And two, he's played at a really high level at right tackle. There are two freak injuries in the same spot, in the same place. Like, there's a lot of weird stuff there. And three, I think it allows flexibility because you can add that right guard on day three of the draft, day two of the draft, like a lot of really good teams do. And I just think it's easier in free agency or the draft to go address guard or center, depending on where you want to play Tippmann, than having to go, let's get a left tackle and a right tackle and maybe a right guard. Like, I just feel like you're asking a lot. Am I crazy? I understand the injury concern, but I don't think he's gotten hurt from overreaching. Like, that doesn't, I don't feel like that's a thing. I keep seeing that in my comments.
I think the correct scenario is new left tackle, Laken Tomlinson on a redone deal, new center, Joe Tippmann, Elijah Vera Tucker. And yeah, you can, I guess you could flip, center, right guard, but I do the free agency stuff. I know like Connor Williams got hurt, for example, but there's like a half dozen centers that I think would be legitimate upgrades over Connor McGovern that I don't think would cost all that much money. I mean, you're going to pay more than you paid McGovern this year, obviously, but maybe less than you paid him on the first deal, which was a decent free agent contract a couple years ago. So yeah, that's how I would play it. I like the guard class a little bit less. There are some really good players, but I think you're either paying Laken Tomlinson money, or then it's a drop off to like, are these guys better than Tomlinson and Tippmann? So that's how I would play it. I'm with you 110%. And I think, yeah, like you said, it's just easier to address those spots. Also, left tackle, like, depending where obviously you want Alt or Fashanu, and I guess you're probably not going to fall late enough to maybe take a reach on some of the other guys, but I think there are a lot of legit prospects that I know you don't have a second round pick, but like that go in the second and third round on day two that are potentially like guys that could play in their first year. Like, I like Patrick Paul at Houston a ton. There's a couple other guys out there that I do like.
Yeah, so you're going to go Warren. I mean, not Carter Warren, sorry. He'd be your swing tackle. You'd go left tackle, draft pick, ideally left guard Tomlinson, Tippmann or draft pick or signing at center, Tippmann guard or Tippmann draft pick or signing at right guard, and then AVT tackle. I'm with you there. The other question is receiver and how they address it. There's three avenues, obviously. I think the most efficient, the ideal way is they just trade for Davante Adams. And I know some people don't want Davante because he's older. I know because they don't want to give up draft capital, all those things. The Jets have been very good at when they execute their plan A, they've hit on it most of the time. Plan B and C has been a huge issue with this regime, with this team in general. Obviously, we saw it this year. They had to go to plan B on a lot of stuff, and it didn't work. Not that everyone's, always great with their backups or, second, options, et cetera. I just feel like Davante, if you get him early in March, right, league year opens, there's just too much. The leaks have been too much that they're not going to go all in on Davante. Like, they have to. It's too much. That said, if they don't get him, because there's a very real chance the Raiders say, F off, we're not trading him. I guess you try to pivot to Higgins. Connor Hughes tweeted out, you pivot to Higgins, Pittman, Evans. Higgins is the only guy I think gets to the open market. And at that point, I know, Connor Rogers mentioned it, like, could it be a tag and trade situation? The free agent class, like, I just don't – how many guys really get there is a question. And then lastly is the draft. And if you draft a receiver in round one, which I'm very much in favor of, that means you likely have added a left tackle already. And I don't know who you're adding at left tackle. Like, you're not signing Tyron Smith. He's not going anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, that's the biggest thing. So that's where a receiver becomes a little bit tricky. You can't not get one of a top guy out of one of those three. But it's like, it's all, I don't know. I don't know what Davante cost. I think he probably cost a day two or day three pick this year and probably a one or a two next year, depending on how you structure it. I think you could try to just burn a 2025 first rounder on fire with that and hope, hey, if we win the Super Bowl, like, it's worth it. I don't know. Where do you land on this? I feel like Higgins, like a Rome Odunze, like all these guys, like, make so much sense size wise, scheme wise, cost effect in this age, everything works. But like, I don't know. Mike Evans makes a lot of sense. I'm not saying he doesn't. In what world is he leaving Tampa? Like, I don't know. I just don't see it. So where are you at with this stuff?
The relationship is kind of interesting, but yeah, I probably don't expect him to leave either. At a certain point, I get not wanting to mortgage the future. That's like what I do and what I talk about. But it's just like, and you shouldn't always be window chasing, but like that's what you signed up for. That's what you're doing. Like, yes, if Davante Adams wants out, and I would say, by the way, keep an eye on, it was this morning, he had a quote, like if they fire Antonio Pierce,
yeah, he's definitely.
If they fire Antonio Pierce, I think he asked for a trade the next, like 5 minutes later. Like, I really do. So, and they probably will. Like, Mark Davis is obsessed with getting the big name, hot, flashy coach. They are the entire, and this is different because Rich Pisacci is like a 60-year-old special teams coordinator, but the entire locker room was stood behind him. You had Max Crosby in the media multiple times being like, everybody wants Rich Pisaccia back. He's our guy. They don't care. They move on. So Pierce is different. He's 20 years younger and is like, you know, coaches the side of the ball, whatever. No disrespect to Rich Pisaccia, but who every player has ever played for him loves. But
hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, if they fire him, I think Davante legitimately walks in you know, Mark Davis's office and says, all right, cool, like, I'm going to be a New York Jet. No, you figure that out. I don't think you're giving up. If you are giving up a first-round pick, it's by itself, and I frankly don't even think a first-round pick is guaranteed. I mean, this is a 32-year-old receiver on top money where the money improves and increases, you know, towards the back end of this deal. Like, I don't. I mean, unless the Raiders want to, like, say, hey, we'll trade you only if we get a godfather offer. We know the Jets are desperate type of situation. And so, the Jets should take a Romo Dunze in that range and still go after Davante Adams because you need a receiver anyway for the future, and it gives you more leverage and more ability to say, yeah, now we have Garrett Wilson, a top 15 pick, and, you know, a guy that can block in Lazard, whatever. Like, we have a core now. But, yeah, in a vacuum, would I say it's smart to trade early draft capital for a 32-year-old receiver? No. But in this situation, this context, you got to do it.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page as you. I saw some people asking about Odell. I know Odell's looked better. Like, no doubt, he looks more like himself. He still gets hurt every week. And not for nothing, like, I feel like everyone thinks his stat line's crazy, and I know stats don't tell the whole story. He's got, like, 35 catches for, like, 350 yards and 3 touchdowns. Like, after all that, on, like, an elite offense, with an elite offensive coordinator, elite quarterback, everything, like, he's still, like, putting up wide receiver 4 numbers, and he's making a shit ton of money. And I think he's going to go into the market and say, look, see, I'm back to myself. Like, someone pay me 2 for $50. Like, I know no one's going to give it to him, but like, so him and D-Hop are both going to say, I got cut or was a free agent. Like, someone pay me. I guess last two things here. I keep getting this question. We've talked about it a little bit before. Can you just break down the Laken Tomlinson ramifications of a restructure? I know he's got $4 million of a void year in 2024 or 2025, I believe, already. What would a restructure do to that? That's a big question on Jets Twitter. It's like, restructure, cut, post June 1 cut up. Like, what is this all kind of breakdown as?
Real quick, want to jump in. I respect what Connor Hughes does. He's fantastic. B, he sunned me on the Aaron Rodgers thing. I was wrong. He was right. He's fantastic. If the Jets ask, if John Franklin Myers
gets asked, I was going to hit on this.
Yeah, I commented and deleted it because I'm 0-for-1 against the legend Connor Hughes. But like, and maybe he does it. But if I'm his agent and I'm him, I'm laughing in the Jets.
I tell the Jets to go fuck themselves.
Correct. So would I. Three times. So anyway,
Michael Clemens is a year younger than JFM and like a quarter of the player. So
and
no.
Busy yelling at fans in Cleveland and throwing up birds
was kind of funny though. Not gonna lie,
it was hilarious. Oh, it was hilarious, but. Anyway, just nevertheless, that was an unnecessary shot at our guy, Michael Clemens. So the way that the Laken Tomlinson restructure would work, he's a $12.6 million salary. You drop that down to the minimum. Let's just say $1.5 million. Keep it clean. Keep it simple. You take that extra $12 million and you spread it over 2024 and then the 3 void years that already exist. Maybe you try to get him to add a 4th and reduce his salary, which I think is probably a conversation they have. But let's say that doesn't even happen. And so you cleared $9 million because take 12.6 down to 1.6. So there's $11 million extra. You divide that by 4, and 3/4 of that amount you push out into the future. So you know, quick math off the top of my head, it's instead of $9 million, $8 million, let's just say, you know, so you clear $8 million there with a simple restructure of Lakin Tomlinson. If I'm the Jets, I'm saying, hey, we're turning a $12.6 million salary into a $7 million salary. Even that's probably fairly generous. It's a 32-year-old guard who has not played up to his contract the entire time. You want to chase this ring with Aaron Rodgers, yada, yada, yada. And he probably has a good relationship with Saleh. Obviously came from San Fran, all these things. So, and then same thing. You chop it down, you still push the rest out. That's how it's done, and I expect that to happen in some capacity.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page. I think that one's kind of a fairly straightforward one for me, especially post-June 1 cutting him just doesn't make a ton of sense. I'm sorry, it doesn't. Like, you still have to replace him if you do that, so not on board with that.
There's too many questions on the O-line to do that, yeah, right? Like, no, we agree. No, there's just too many. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm trust me, I'm on the same page. Last two things here. One, can you just walk through again, sorry, with Zach, the ramifications of what happens? I feel like Zach's a huge post-June 1 cut trade candidate. I mean, post-June 1 designation candidate. If I'm not mistaken, I feel like it affects a lot of the dead money if you post-June 1 him. I know they're going to try to trade him. They should. But if they can't, like, I feel like you just post-June 1 him because, like, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, it saves them quite a bit more money long-term if they do that.
Well, unfortunately, there's no years beyond 2024.
Okay, so contract. Either way, they're fucked.
Yeah, correct. That's the simplest answer is either way, if you don't trade them, you have a dead cap hit of $11.2 million, and you save nothing. You know, you just pay the same cap number as you would if he was there. Trade, you know, the salary and a roster bonus would travel, so basically chop that in half, but $5.5 million of the $11 million would go to this new team. So then you save a decent chunk. So the one thing is with the trade, it doesn't matter when it happens because we talked about the pre-June 1, post-June 1 is irrelevant with no future years on the deal. But I'll just throw this point in there because I get asked about it a lot. You can designate a post-June 1 cut. You can't designate a post-June 1 trade. You have to just wait till after June 1st and then execute the trade and then you get the, you know, the relief. But anyway, for Wilson, I think you honestly just try to get a sixth-round pick and just beg someone to take him away from you and save $5.5 million.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page. I think you go to Arizona, you go to Indy maybe, you go to one of these teams that's going to need to replace a backup quarterback or has a mobile quarterback as a starter. And, you know, Arizona to me is like the perfect Zach Wilson spot if you keep Kyler. No pressure. Very not similar size, but kind of similar play style and size to a Kyler Murray. Obviously, not the same player. You hope that, hey, maybe he goes there, rehabilitates his image. Kyler's awesome next year. And Zach Wilson's maybe you're just your backup for 2 years. Or Indy, Richardson's back. Minshew commands 2 for 25 on the open market because someone says, look, he basically was the starter the entire year and we made the playoffs with him. Let's make him our bridge starter with a Jaden Daniels as a backup. Or I don't know. I'm just making things up here, but it's not a crazy scenario. And then Zach's like, oh, great offensive coach, play indoors because we've seen he can't play the elements and all these different things. Like, that's the path off cap space, et cetera. Last two quick ones here. One, you've mentioned a Lazard pay cut or restructure before. Is there any other of outside of him, is there any other of the guys that Rodgers brought on, the Dalvin Cooks, the Jets brought on that Rodgers suggested? Dalvin Cook, Billy Turner, Cobb, all those are one-year deals. Is there any money they're going to owe these guys in the future? I know that's a lot of people are worried about, you know, the long-term ramifications of those type of guys.
Yeah, so let's see here. No, it doesn't look like they pushed out any money for those guys. All one-year deals where they took the brunt of it in 2023. You know, the guys that they had to do void years where you'll have cap hits in 2024, even though they're not there. That's Mecole Hardman, that's Dwayne Brown, that's Jordan Whitehead, Carl Lawson, and Quentin Jefferson. So, you know, I love your Freudian slip there, but none of those guys were signed by Aaron Rodgers. They were signed by the New York Jets, just like all the other guys you mentioned. They were also signed by the New York Jets. Wink, wink. But yeah, no. So those guys are all gone. I mean, the team saved a bunch of money. Doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, but about $400,000 because Dalvin Cook agreed to waive the rest of his guarantees to get off the team.
67 carries and fresh legs, baby.
That was the one of the, all time. There's nothing better than a good media tweet. You know, he's really going to help a contender, even though he was useless on a team that didn't have a good offense. But now he's going to go, you know, to a contender and just light things up. I mean, if someone will add him, it's just like, you know.
Yeah, I saw Cowboys and Ravens practice squad is something Justina Anderson's mentioned. Look, I wanted Zeke Elliott over Dalvin. I was very adamant about that. That aged fantastic. I also thought Dalvin would have a lot of juice early on in the year because I felt like fresh legs didn't have a camp. So that was kind of probably a mistake on my part. Breece was up to speed faster than people realized. Dalvin with the shoulder, it's healthy now, but it doesn't feel like he thinks it's healthy. Like the way he runs, I think he's probably like very much protecting that shoulder. You could tell with the way he approaching contact. He just wasn't, they didn't use him well. He wasn't a fit with this offense. There's a lot of, the signing was unfortunate. The narrative the Jets would have done other things with that money is a little hindsight 2020. Like, I don't know what maybe they would have approached it the trade deadline differently, but I don't think anything would have changed late in July, early August with Dalvin. It is just crazy. Like, they paid him a bunch of money. It was all like per game money, and it kept him active a lot. I just feel like that move could have been made probably the second they got eliminated. After the Miami game, like, you could have saved like $1.2 million and Dalvin could have latched on and maybe actually contributed somewhere. Last question here. We've talked about extensions and these different things. DJ Reed's one that I feel like is one of the harder conversations the Jets are going to have this offseason. You can either extend him now, which is the perfect time to do so, or you restructure him and wait till he's on an expiring deal next year, and you can use the tag, you can do all these different things. There's also a world in which, like, you trade DJ Reed. There's a world in which you just let it play out and you extend him next offseason. There's just a restructure and call it a day. There's extending it. Like, what do you do here? Because there's a very good argument for, like, all five. He's a really good player. He's very underrated. He's on a very team-friendly deal, in my opinion. He's at a good age. But he's like 2 years away from being a big number entering an age 30 season. So I don't know what you do here.
I think the market recently has helped to where it's been tough for corners, you know, entering age 30 range because of outcomes at the position. Last offseason, one of the sharper teams in the league, you know, and the Eagles bring back Darius Slay and James Bradbury. Slay's been fine. Bradbury has not really been all that good. And there's obviously variance to cornerback play. It's not just his age, but at the same time, though, like, Bradbury basically got, like, I think it's like 2 years, 22 is what he actually got. You know, I don't know what the report was in the media. Maybe it was more than that, but it was around there. Maybe 2 years, 20 or something like that is the actual money he's going to earn if he even stays through 2023. So, or 2024. So, yeah, you could approach extension, but the whole concept of, like, yeah, we're prolonging a contract. We're not giving you a raise over the old one. It might be underwhelming to you, but we're just kind of preparing for what we expect the play to look like down the line. There's other guys in similar situations too. Like, does Jacksonville do the same with Darius Williams? Can you work off of that deal? Similar markets the first time. Reed's probably been better than Williams. Well, he was last year. This year, I think he's probably a case. Darius has been better this season. He's also like 5'8", you know, 170 pounds soaking wet. So there's like all these various different things that go into it. But anyway, I think you do. Like you said, you have every option on the table for you there. It's interesting, though. Their approach to the early extensions, you know, not doing anything with Bryce Huff. You know, we'll see with Michael Carter. Like, it's been interesting how they've played some of them. And I think for the most part, they've done a fairly good job. JFM, for example, I thought was, a great early deal that has aged wonderfully. But, yeah, it probably honestly comes down to, like, what other moves do you make? Like, we're talking about Davante Adams. If you get a Davante Adams, it changes what you should do in theory with a DJ Reed, right? Like, it's all kind of fluid, but at the same time, I would say you're not forced to do anything, which is always good. There's nothing you have to do. There's things that you can want to do or try to do and see how it goes.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page. I'd rather approach Michael Carter a year early and get that done than approach DJ Reed for an extension right now. I feel like he's an easy restructure. See how next year goes. I don't know. We'll see. But appreciate you hopping on as always. Make sure you guys are following Brad. Obviously, we'll have him on during the offseason when some of these contracts and things kind of know, happen and things like that. But I'll have a full preview of Jets Pats tomorrow. Appreciate everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you guys later.